So no one's going to talk, are they? All right, welcome to the Friendly Geordies podcast. Again, I don't know what episode this is. I don't know how you guys keep track of it, but everyone's in the studio here as usual. And we'll go around the circle, even though we all know the guys now. I don't think we have had any new listeners for about 10 weeks. But just in case that record is broken this time, we've got Robbie in the studio.
Hi, guys.
We've also got Tom.
Hello.
Jordan. That's the voice you're hearing right now. And our not at all special guest at this point, Ali.
Hey, guys. How are you going?
They can't respond to that. What's the first thing that we've got here? I do not have a piece of paper in front of me, and both of you do. Why did you point to me to introduce this?
We have a segment that Robbie's liking. What do you want to do, Robbie? You intro your own segment.
Go on. This one's called Robbie's Family Feud. And so this one is about... So the game show Family Feud is basically what this is. And it's my one. And then so I'm going to have some sort of questions, I think, that I'm going to ask you. No, it's about...
Okay, here's how your segment works. You're going to have...
Oh, we're being very rushed.
Okay. We're paying... So, it's Bert's Family Feud, but Robbie's Family Feud. And that game show works where you survey a whole heap of people on a certain category of a question. So, for instance, what do you take to a football game? And that survey is done. And then you ask the family if they can guess what the top hit survey responses were.
So... Robbie is both the survey and the host.
Yeah, so...
And nobody saw a fault with that.
Yeah, so Robbie gets to just decide if that is something you would take to a football game or whatever he's doing.
Sounds more than reasonable. Let's get cracking.
And okay. So my category is things you'd take to a public pool.
Mm. All right.
You obviously haven't thought about this much.
I have.
I really would love to see that. Let's see how much he has.
All right, so I'll go first.
Yes.
Would you take a swimming towel, like a towel, a bathing towel?
Use!
That means
Does
no.
that mean... Okay.
Oh, right.
It's actually pretty self-explanatory. I don't know why I was confused by that. Robbie, you got something to give to Ali? Does that mean that Tom's automatically disqualified?
That does, in fact, mean that Tom is disqualified.
Surely a towel is something you would take to a pool, though, right?
Not me.
No? Okay.
What?
It's what about
Reed? Do you just bring an inflatable mattress and wait for the sun to dry you out?
This, you'll find out. Ali.
What about, like, floaters? Do you take them to a public pool?
You lose!
You do take floaties.
I don't.
You are the kind of weirdo that would in your 20s.
I don't. I swear to God. I don't.
So defensive.
Straight up lie.
It's not
I
true.
I swear. Okay. All right. Crap. I know something that you would definitely bring.
Mm.
Nutella.
Yeah, baby! Yeah! Yeah, baby, yeah!
The only way Robbie knows how to say yes, like impersonating Austin Powers very poorly. What happens now? Is that the end? It just means I win your version of Family Feud.
You win. You win Robbie's Family Feud for this week. Because okay. Yeah,
okay, but because there's no prize, Robbie, would you like to take it away with your other impersonation apart from Austin Powers that you think you do well, but obviously don't?
Which one's that?
One that you've just said to both Tom and Ali.
Oh. You lose!
Which is Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka. Do you want me to do it? I don't know.
Yeah, do the whole thing. Were you just doing this segment so you could do your impersonations?
And you've muddled it up as well.
Well, yeah, it's a nice way to sort of combine... Like games and fun and, you know, stuff like that. Music and, you know.
It's not a combined, it's a ruse.
But it's like the 2016, the year of the impression-based segments. And I think that segment is great. It's got fun, laughter, music.
All right.
It's very good how you've just announced that 2016 is the year of something, much like the Chinese have just announced that it's the year of what are we up to this
time?
The monkey.
Yeah.
And Robbie's just added on to that saying that, no, forget the monkey. This is all about impressions, baby.
Definitely.
Which I suppose is a monkey thing to do.
Yeah. So yeah, welcome to a very rushed pod. So now we're going to go on to dissect Guy's thoughts. So Guy is a friend of ours. Jordan, do you want to talk about Guy?
To sum him up, I'm going to have to quote this song by a band I don't know because they were around and popular 20 years before I was born, but he is a super freak, super freak, he's super freaky. He's got great ideas, though.
Mm.
He's a man of vision and virtually handicapped when it comes to action. Can't really do anything about it, but he's got a fantastic mind.
Mm.
He noticed about Australia something that Ali, as an immigrant... Have you seen this? Do you think that Australians are all about wit without anything to really back up the wit in terms of depth? So, they like having an intelligent turn of phrase that doesn't really say anything. There's no real commentary to it.
Mm.
They're all about this very surface-level conversation. And as soon as you start talking about something real, they're going, just relax, mate. It's a party. Or relax, mate. It's the workspace. Relax, mate. I'm at home trying to relax. Yeah. There's nowhere for them ever. There's no space in Australia to talk big ideas.
Yeah. Relax, mate. We're at a debate right now.
Mate, it's just a casual debate between the Prime Minister and the opposition leader in the country. I don't know why I'm taking this so seriously. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you noticed that, Ollie?
Yeah, man, I have. Like, the flavor of the conversation would be witty, but nobody would dwell deep into it. And as soon as you, like, you get a bit challenging, you'll be like, oh, okay, I'm just going to walk away from this conversation.
Mm. It's all flavor. It's like if we were to make Migarang noodles, well, obviously, we made Maggi 2-minute noodles. That's our version of it. Mm. But even more than that, we don't like the noodle part of Migarang. We just like the little cheap flavour packaging of those things that are borderline legal to sell as a food.
No substance.
We just like the oil and the chili sauce together of, oh, it's like two sensations on my mouth at once. That's the only reason why we like witticisms, because it's a little in the brain.
Yeah, it's kind of that... the don't talk about religion or politics thing, I think, where it's just gone so far in like entrenched into that world where there's no space where you can talk about anything but light chat.
Yeah, because even if you talk about, say, cancer or something, oh, that should be political. Some people don't think cancer exists.
Don't bring down the mood, man.
It's just obsessed with keeping the mood light.
Yeah, it's like playing golf. Pedantic. Whenever I play golf, it's just that with your group of old men just spending 4.5 hours every week, and it's just baffling how they're able to just keep all the chat just so light and just talk about the same stuff every week.
What do they generally talk about then, like at the golf course?
It's usually weather, mainly weather. Yeah, or golf. But yeah, if anything ever gets brought up, yeah, if politics ever gets raised, it's always trying to make it in very lightly funny. Like, nothing that shows either your stance of where you are in politics. It's always just the most neutral comment you could make about appearances or something.
Four prime ministers in 4 years.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah, stuff like that. Just really general comments. Yeah, like, they need to get their head together.
Do you think it's uniquely Australian?
Probably not.
For you, Joe? Is that what the basis of the...
That's what Guy was saying after coming back from living in Europe
for a
few years. Yeah. The cultural hubs.
Yeah.
This backwater no longer suffices for Guy. He was saying that in those places, if you... It's par for the course for you to have a serious conversation with anyone. I can't remember the last time I had a serious conversation with anyone outside of this room.
Mm. I think it's just also serious as in kind of inverted commas, where you'll have hipsters that will talk about serious stuff, but their serious thing will be, you know, about something which is just, you know, they think it's serious. You know, some music news or something like that, which is, like, to them very important,
the
which is
lockout
fine.
Lockout laws.
Yeah, or whatever it is.
Open it up.
Yeah.
They're our great thinking youth minds in Australia. How pathetic is that?
Mate, it's a ruse.
Yeah, that's right. I hated that video that just went viral. You people make me sick. All right. Anyway, let's shut me up and go to the next segment.
All right, we've got this next segment's called Air Guitar. So we're trying to work out what is the lamest shit there is.
So when you walk around the place and, you know, if you were to sort of with, the, you know, your chummy bro, you sort of both go, sort of both get it up, at, you know, sort of in a celebration of something. Is that the lamest thing you'll ever see in your life?
For instance, I was playing squash yesterday. Like, if you were to get your squash racket after winning a point and go like, like, from winning that.
Yeah.
It would have to be up there on the lamest thing you could do. What's lamer than that?
It's a pretty good radio segment, right? Like, you know, just like...
Yeah, it's like, very, yeah, very light, isn't it?
Yeah, this is nice. A slice of life, this sort of one. Isn't it? Like, Jordan, you love these ones.
Yeah, I was thinking about the cognitive dissonance of just before going, these people in Australia, like, all they care about.
That's exactly what we did on the radio with the, we're talking about the gravitational waves and how Seven News just treated it with such disrespect. You know, they were treating it so lightly and flippantly and humorously, massacre. And then we just did it by dropping a bloody egg on my
does
chest.
Gravity exist if an egg cracks on Robbie's chest? We didn't even realize that.
It wasn't
that.
Even an experiment because we did drop it and it didn't crack, and so we tried again but pigged about it.
And we didn't realize that that was... that we were doing that, that we were, like, doing something dumb until afterwards. At least I didn't. I was like, yeah, that seems fine. Like,
as soon as he said it, it was such a shattering realization, wasn't
such
it?
Such hypocrites.
Anyway, so now we're talking about light
air
stuff.
Guitar, yeah. Yeah, man, I always thought the air guitar could be cool. Putting a squash racket into the equation... that is so not cool. It's the worst. It's the worst of the racket sports to be doing it with as well. It's better to do it with badminton.
Oh, really? I was just about to say, I reckon badminton surely would be worse.
Quick survey. And the quickest way to do that is to just give all the power over to Robbie, just like we did in Family Feud for some bizarre reason.
Badminton is lamer.
Yeah.
There you go. All right.
But so that's less, one it looks all on less this like podcast. A guitar. You know, like a squash racket shaped more like a guitar. So the badminton's just too far removed.
Yeah, I can't really remember what a squash racket looks like. You're probably right. I reckon what is lamer than... what were we talking about again? Air guitar.
How did that happen?
This is shit. That's what the people are here for.
I reckon what is lamer than that is a Zizazari, surely. Or whatever that guy's name is. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Worse.
Master
is
of none.
Worse than air guitar.
Mm.
Stop being proud of the fact that you're shit at everything. That's his shtick. That's why he's famous, because everyone just goes, yeah, at least he's owning the fact that he's not talented, but he's still posing as a creative person. No, if you're not talented, go into a fucking office job. Stop being on my television. Yeah. It was so offensive to watch his stand-up show. The fact that they're like, live in Madison Square Garden, somebody who has no jokes at all.
Jesus.
Did he do that character where he pretends to be, you know, he's like, I'm tweaking. You know that character?
I don't know. I watched it with Ali. We honestly watched 3 minutes of it, and then we switched over to watching Chris Tucker yet again.
A second
time. Thank God we did.
The same special?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. How amazing
it's
is
a
it?
Classic.
Oh, it is great. That uncle character, really. Yeah, you should check it out if you haven't seen it. Ali, what did you think of Aziz?
I thought he was... I think he's getting a bit of undue credit, man.
A bit.
Yeah. he's decent, but he needs some work. He needs to do some more work.
Right.
Like, okay, cool. Right now.
Is there anything lamer sensible in the world than Aziz or...
oh, are we agreeing to that Aziz is lamer than air guitar?
Yeah, I guess so.
We'll put it out there, but we'll also say, Aziz, if you're listening, come on the show. We'd love to have you on, even though, you know, it'd just be interesting
it's
to meet you.
It's a very combative environment, and we've only got 4 mics. We're not giving you your own one. Yeah. You can share with me.
It'd be interesting to talk to you, I guess. Anyway, Ali.
Maybe.
Do you reckon anything's lamer than Aziz?
I don't know. I was thinking, what about air drumming? Do you think that's lamer than air guitar?
That's a fair call.
Yeah. I reckon
air bass That's got to be worse.
Air DJ doing the wooka wooka.
Oh, that worse. We found a winner here.
Labor than assist. Easily.
Good show.
All right.
Love
anyone,
it.
Can anyone beat that? Obviously, write into the comment section if you think you know something worse than Air DJ.
Yeah, twisting the cue knobs there, like doing the
But I guess the real question that we have to turn into little pictures that you're posting into the comment section is. If you think that air guitar is lamer, just put that Hungry Jack Stunner Deal ad where they've just... I don't know if you've seen that one, Ali, but it was a few years ago of them having a fake burger in front of the mouth and making this stunned expression, and then the attendee at Hungry Jack's goes, "Let me guess, Stunner Deal?" And the man is so stunned that he literally can't respond. So that's for air guitar. If you think that Aziz Ansari is lamer... put up a picture of Fitzy and Whipper.
All right, now we're going to go on to serious.
Wait, segment. Sorry, we're doing the DJ one as well.
Oh, the air DJ.
Oh,
yeah.
No, I think we've established that this is the lamest that we have so far. And if you have something lamer, put a picture of that in the comment section. Okay.
Yeah. DJing is pretty lame as well. Like, imagine air DJ. Like, I was doubtful that you're actually doing anything when you're actually DJing. Are you just like pressing a play button?
Mate, it's intricate work, and you'll be able to see the debut of the Friendly Jaw DJs.
Yeah, in Brisbane on 11th of March. Get your tickets.
Tickets now.
Speaking of which, I probably should have brought this up off air, but there's some dude in Newtown that wants you to DJ. Rob, are you up for that?
Yeah, right.
But yeah, we literally
thought it'd
will
be more enthused, but we have recorded confirmation that Robbie's just really not that into this.
But yeah, if you're from Brisbane, we actually will be DJing for an hour, so they can watch that.
Yeah. In the words of Robbie, get ready to bleep this out. It's going to be a full hour of...
It actually will be. And we've got a multimedia video thing ready to go with it of just twerking black girls for an hour.
Yeah, changing BET to BE Robbie. B Robbie.
Alright, so now we're going to be doing a new segment which we're going to come back to week after week whenever Ali is here, called Ali's African Heartland. But this week, Iran.
So this was a real reverse engineering of a pod segment, because originally it was going to be any country in the world, so Ali did research on Iran. But then we thought, we don't really care about Iran. We want to learn about Africa. So we're just putting that in Ali's mind. Can you just learn things about Africa? I know you're not that enthused by it.
Yeah, but next time we're doing Africa. But this week we're doing Iran, because that's what we planned for.
Nonetheless, this is still called Ali's Heartland Africa. We could have given it a different title for just this segment, but no, we just didn't have the time.
Yeah. So, Ali, tell us about Iran.
Okay, so I think you... Perhaps, well, it's part of the Persian Empire, so they consider themselves to be this massive civilization that's not doing too well now, but they still have that arrogance in them. It's
That was thousands of years ago.
Yeah,
how
but
do
they
you
still
foster that
they,
long?
They still have it. Well, the other thing is that what really motivates them is perhaps, you know how like Muslims have two sects, like Shias and Sunnis. So Iran is primarily Shia, and they're sort of the powerhouse of Shia Islam. Now, Shia Islam was like, you can compare it to sort of like Jews in Europe, where they were always persecuted. So Iranians have this whole idea that everyone's out to get them. It runs in their psyche, which is why they're a lot more interested in building nuclear weapons than anyone else. So that whole idea of, you know, everyone sort of out to get them plays with a lot of what's going on within the country.
I just realized even the psychology of Australia is way better than Iran. The fact that all we want to talk about is light subjects, I'll take that any day over a nation of paranoia.
Yeah.
You are paranoid.
Do you know how we were talking about, like, Australians like to talk about light subjects or whatever, the friendly banter? Iranians are completely different. If you were talking to a normal Iranian, he'd probably get down to, like, brass tacks, real complex political stuff straight away. He probably wouldn't know much about it, or maybe he does, but he'd still want to talk about it.
Yes.
That's a man right. that That's sells pirate DVDs still in 2016. So, clear genius. Discussing geopolitics with you.
So, who are they buddies with? Like, are they... I imagine the US isn't a fan of Iran.
Yeah, no, they're not. So, basically, there was a pre-1979 Iran and a post-1979. What happened in 1979 was that Americans and most of the world powers just propped up these... well, not propped up, but they had these dictatorship kings, like what they would call the Shah. And so those guys were pretty much running throughout. And in 1979, there was this massive revolution where pretty much every circle within Iran, whether you were progressive, religious, non-religious, had just come to this consensus that whatever our society is going to be, we just want to get rid of these guys first. And they were heavily backed. The Shah was heavily backed by U.S. And Saudi Arabia. So when they got rid of him, eventually, the clergy sort of took over because they became the most dominant aspect within the Iranian society. So now it's like it's a theocracy now.
Mm.
And so who do they support or they're friendly with? So US definitely not, because they've had like these sanctions on them. And
often, so if they're not friends with America, they're probably friends with China.
Yeah, so China's like their major trading partner.
Yeah, always from always
China. So why was the US backing them before 1979, and then what changed to make them not like Iran?
Well, so there's a few. So Shah was considered to be this guy who wouldn't sort of nationalize all the oil fields. And he was just like more of a friendly person that Americans could rely on. Okay, so here's another thing. This is why Iranians hate Americans from doing this. So in 1953, Iran elected a democratic leader. Americans didn't sort of like that at that point. They were saying that, well, because he wanted to nationalize oil as well. So they got rid of him, and then they brought back the Shah, this king. That really pissed off Iranians. So in 1979, after they took over, the first thing that they did was they sort of they held American diplomats hostage. It became a huge deal back then, and which like no country does that. So that's where Iran and America started off on a really bad note from the beginning.
It's pretty stupid. Like, yeah, why would they do that?
No, they were just like excited. The times were exciting for them. They were way too excited.
Like, it's just pricking a bear, isn't it? Like, why do that?
Yeah, pretty much. That's and they like something of that sort recently happened as well when some of the student protesters basically attacked the Saudi Arabian embassy in Iran, in Tehran, and that really got things going. That's the whole Saudi-Iran drift, like some of it is that. But what's interesting is, okay, so anyways, what's really interesting about it is that things are changing now. So when Obama came into power, he sort of, I guess this is what he probably did, like, what issues do we have with Iran? So the first thing that probably is, Israel is pretty anti-Iran as well, and Iran is pretty anti-Israel. And so the first thing that Obama did was, all right, so what are the issues? So the first thing that probably came to him, the biggest thing, was the nuclear. So he sort of like, okay, let's get rid of one of those reasons. So then we have like the new historic nuclear deal with Iran, where they've managed to set up a protocol of how Americans and the world community can inspect Iran's facilities to make sure that they're not making nuclear weapons. That has lifted the sanctions, but the Middle East order is now changing. Iran is coming back. Saudi Arabia feels really threatened because now Iran can actually put their oil into the market.
Is Trump right in saying that the Iran deal is the worst deal I've ever seen? Unbelievable. We got nothing, folks.
Yeah, I wrote the art of the deal.
I'm not comparing it to the Bible.
Better under me. But the best wall you've ever seen.
Beautiful wall.
He sounds like a Vegas singer. Some 60-year-old that's quite confused as to whether or not his style is more in the ilk of Elvis or old baby blue Frank Sinatra. He's wearing this soiled Elvis cape, grunting a few ahas, but at the same time playing a lot of Rat Pack music. That's like, yeah, that's Donald Trump minus the billions of dollars.
Right. So was the Iran deal the worst deal I've ever seen?
Yeah, as much as I would like to to like agree with Trump on most of the stuff. This is complete bullshit. So no, the deal is it depends on how you want to look at Iran. If you were looking at the idea of them having nuclear weapons or not having nuclear weapons, then this deal was good because it allows you to inspect if they are making it or not. But if your idea, like Israel, is that Iran is just a bad player within the region, irrespective of their nuclear stuff, it's not a country that we would want to work with.
Is it a bad player because of their theocracy? Like, because they're so... Like, do they hate Israel because they're Israel's partners with the US, or is it because they're Jews?
What's... No, Iran has a sizable Jewish population of their own. Right. So, I don't think... It's not really Jews, but they have this moral argument. Which is that when the European Jews took over Israel, they sort of... You know, like they have no right to do that.
Like, now, it's not their place to.
Yeah, it's not their place. It. So that's their argument. And but within the interesting thing about Iran is that within Iran there's so many opposing forces. So if you look at one standpoint of Iran, that would be completely, you know, ridiculed by someone within Iran that also has authority as well. Mm. So there's like a huge battle going on between the clergy, for instance, that is, they're clearly the most powerful as well. But then there are the Revolutionary Guards, which are like their army. But the sole purpose...
Sounds fantasy epic.
Yeah, it does.
Revolutionary Guards.
Revolutionary Guards. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It sounds like they have Viking horns made out of steel. And they're all very unison. They don't look very ragtag like a Viking army does.
Yeah.
I know I just referenced capes before, but I'm going to have to do it again. This time, not soiled, though. Really nice velvet red. Anyway, that's what I think about Revolutionary Guards. Ali, is that at all what they're like?
Versus magic priests who are the clergy.
Is that kind of the vibe?
It's like, it's really like Iran is so
kind of.
I guess so. Yeah,
back to some semblance of reality.
In the same symbolic way that you're looking at it, it is exactly that. Perhaps
awesome.
Yeah, but the difference about like so, Revolutionary Guards are different from any other army. It's the most powerful form of the army, but their purpose is not to like defend Iran, but to defend the revolution of 1979 itself. To keep the order as it has been for however many years, and that's like, and so there's the Revolutionary Guards. Then the clergy has this what they call the Supreme Leader. The Supreme Leader is not supposed to have any direct executive power within the government, but nothing can happen without his consent.
Is he like the Wizard of Oz in the movie The Wizard of Oz?
It's like Slan Mage Priest. It sounds like Warhammer.
God, we reference much. Warhammer a lot, don't we?
I know.
And I really feel like the vast majority of the audience is barely familiar with it. So, just a quick side note that has nothing to do with Iran. Ali, is there Warhammer in Pakistan?
No.
Not surprising.
So why does Saudi Arabia and Iran dislike each other? Is that a Shia-Sunni thing, or is it a, like, America? They don't like Saudi Arabia because of America?
It's got less to do with America. America gets involved because it's involved in the region. Other than that, their issues are... So the reason why Saudi Arabia primarily doesn't like Iran is because Saudi Arabia has about 10 to 15% Shiite population.
Yeah.
And those Shia populations primarily live in the areas where most of the oil is. So they're afraid of Iran propping up this Shia, like basically motivating this Shia population to rebel against the Saudi regime.
Right, yeah.
So that's what they're shit scared of, because Iran sort of does that in Lebanon with, like, you've probably heard of Hezbollah that attacks Israel. So Hezbollah, and, you know, so Iran sort of does have a track record, but I would argue that pretty much every country in the world has the same thing. Mm-mm. So Iran's threatened by Saudi Arabia's threatened by Iran because of that. They just don't want uprisings within. And to think about the fact that all of their neighboring, like Iraq, Syria, everyone's having those uprisings. So that's what they're really afraid of. Just the people going against them, and also the same people that live on top of the oil.
Yeah, on the spectrum of evil, I remember Christopher Hitchens saying that the new triangle of evil, the axis of evil of the noughties, was Iraq, North Korea, and Iran. And his justification for why Iran was evil was
so much less compelling than North Korea and Russia.
Yeah, what was his reason?
He was just going, it's just, can you imagine living in a state? Of course, one of the four horsemen of atheism would say that that's one of the axes of evil, where religion and governance, there is no difference. They are the ruling class there. Mm. It's medieval. Yeah, I guess, but...
Is that different, though, to... Like, I'm sure there's other countries in the world that have
theocracies. Like Saudi Arabia as well, which is pretty Islamic, and it's a...
Is it a theocracy?
Well, it's not a theocracy. It's a monarchy, which I don't think... Like, just because it's a theocracy doesn't make it worse. Like, monarchy is pretty bad as well. And, yeah, I don't think Iran should have been included in the Axis of Evil, really. Because Iran is actually, a natural ally of America. It's like, it's sort of those things like, they could have been their friends, but they hate each other because of this history that they shared. But even in Iraq, so for example, if America wants to fight with ISIS in Iraq, then the only country that can really help them with that is Iran. And they're sort of already doing it, which sort of eased up the nuclear deal as well. So I don't think Iran should have been included in the Axis of Evil from the beginning. The people that say that are usually just...
Sarah Palin.
Yeah, Sarah Palin, who doesn't really know anything about the issue and just says that Iran is evil because that's what she's sort of supposed to say.
What would she know about? She machine guns mooses from a helicopter. you can't be a genius and do that. Could you ever imagine Einstein going, "Welcome to the jungle"?
How does Russia fit in with Iran? Is there like some kind of thing with, you know, like in Syria, how they're kind of saying it's this kind of proxy war? Like, isn't Iran like quite involved in the whole Syrian thing as well?
Yeah, so the Iran, if you're looking at the proxy war, so Iran, Russia, and Syria are like one party,
yeah,
where their idea is to keep Assad in power for the whole time, and not just Assad, but the status quo that exists at the moment. So they're working together. The other side is America, which and like Turkey, but these things are changing so much,
yeah.
And like, it's really a struggle now to understand what's really happening in that. But like, it would be safe to say that Iran, Russia, and Syria, the current regime in Syria, are working together.
Yeah, because it sounds so complicated. Because it even just, there's like the national level of it, and then within Syria, it's like, I was watching CNN and they were saying how they were doing peace talks and how there was like all these different groups that were involved in the talks, and then there was like five groups that just weren't invited to the peace talks. So you've got like, you know, like 10 or 12 different kind of Islamic groups, and then you know, like all kind of in this chaos together. Like, it just seems so complicated.
Yeah, it's really, really complicated now. And it's, most of it is proxy war. Every sort of army that is fighting with each other, they're sort of being backed by someone.
Yeah.
In any way. And they're all, it's, Syria has just become this chessboard, really.
Yeah.
Where
it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And instead of two players, there's like changing loyalties within those players. So the international community sort of just sits down and decides what's going on in Syria. They're fighting with each other. Mm. And then now they're saying, well, maybe we shouldn't be fighting as much because there's way too many people that are dying and also coming to Europe. So now they're saying, okay, let's just sort of stop fighting. But then there are other groups that are saying, no, it means we're winning if you're saying that.
Yeah.
Robbie, do you have any Oscars music to play this off? Because this has gone on way too long. We're getting kicked out of the studio.
So we need to...
because you guys are not facing the window, there has been a couple of panicky people saying that, like, look, you timed up 15 minutes ago.
Oh, look, I mean,
we've got time. All right.
No, we don't, but I love that. That was very informative.
So much more we can talk about. We're doing Africa next time. So
I know, and that's probably, like, a lot of what people love about this podcast is these sorts of things, and I hate to cut it off, but we really do have to.
Because we have to move on really quickly.
Because we have to move on really quickly to Who Am I? Which was the fun segment that we started on the back of Tyrannosaurus Chess, where basically we play that card game with the audience, and so they vote on a question, and then we'll respond with either a yes or no response, and they will eventually come to a celebrity's name that we have chosen prior to starting this game.
Yes.
So that we are actually recording this, though, prior to their voting of the next question. So what we're going to do is we're going to say both yes and no, and then I'm going to implant.
But only one answer is going to make the cut.
One answer is going to be is going to be played
to whatever question was most highly voted.
Okay.
So three, two, one, Yes.
No one followed him.
No, no, okay, so...
Or three, two, one.
No. All right.
There it
That's
is.
What happens when practice happens. All right, now, one, two, three...
No.
Okay, okay, nice. All right, great. And now we've got...
Remember the lyrics.
Another fun game hosted by yours truly. And it's about...
Jesus.
It's Remember the Lyrics. So basically, it's another music-based segment. And we're going to see if you guys can remember the lyrics to these famous songs.
Hang on a second. Okay. Is this just don't forget the lyrics? And you've replaced don't forget with remember...
I don't know. Don't forget the lyrics. I'm not sure of that one. But this one is basically you play a song and then you see if the... I'll do an example with Tom. So basically, I'll play this song. I don't think it is,
but... He knows.
I don't think
again.
No, I don't think it is.
Done so little work.
No.
You have literally changed a phrase.
Yeah, he doesn't get that, like, if we fall for this trick, all the people listening to it, surely, like, most of them will know if you're... pretending to have made this game up or not.
Right. In the words of Abraham Lincoln, you can fool some of the people all the time. You can fool all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all of the time, Robbie. You can't keep doing this.
I don't know.
Will you learn?
No, look.
All right, go.
So this is Tom's song that I've chosen for him.
Ba ba black sheep, have you any wool?
Wool?
You
got half the bloody word.
Sorry. I'll do it again.
No,
why are you doing it
I
again?
Passed.
Sorry. One more time.
Ba ba black sheep, have you any
wool?
Is it him? It was the same amount of, song that he got in the first
time. Alright, I'll
leave. He got it right the first time as well.
Sorry, I passed. Okay.
We're in a rush.
Tom passed. I'm sorry about that, but Tom did pass. Okay.
You're cutting me off.
Yes. Sorry.
Ali.
The wincy, wincy spider went up the wall to...
Hang on. Ali, do you not know the next word to that?
Do not. This is a worldwide phenomenon.
Itsy bitsy spider who went.
Climbed up the spout.
Oh, the spout.
Yeah,
no,
he got it.
Yeah, that's right.
Spout.
No, he got it.
Completely lost.
Man, we had like different nursery rhymes.
Nice. Oh my god. That is like the bimbo that loses on the $100 question on who wants to be a millionaire. Is there an easier song than Itsy Bitsy Spider?
I'm pretty sure he got it. All right, Jordan's turn. So
okay,
so
you can
both
play
fast.
This back. He did not get it.
No. Okay, do it. I got it.
Don't try and fool us, Jordan.
Okay, so
can't fool all of us.
Got it. Ali got it. Congratulations. And now.
Thanks,
and now.
You bastard.
And now it's Jordan's song. Okay, now this was a worldwide phenomenon as well.
What? You gotta continue the. Are you serious?
Yeah, wait.
So mine.
It's in another
mine
language.
It's a worldwide.
That's the
hit.
First massive problem with it.
Yeah, so, yeah, come on. All right, I'll do it one more time. Jordan.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Here we go. 3, 2.
All right, so the game
Why
is...
Why have you set this up in such an obvious failure?
What?
You have set this up so I fail.
So no, the game is, if you lose, Robbie will lick the inside of one of our ears. So me and Ali have passed so
Wait,
far.
No, that's not how it works.
That's a lick an ear.
That wasn't how it
works. Yeah, it is. So if Ali and me have both passed, Jordan, if you get it wrong, you're getting ear licked. But if you get it right, Robbie gets his ear licked.
Fuck. Oh, what?
Okay, play it one more time. Okay. Let's see if you can do it.
Okay. Are you serious?
Please let that be it.
I'm pretty.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah!
No way.
All right, lick his ear.
Oh, I love that song. Thanks, Bob. I love you. God.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. Here we go.
Ow.
That concludes the Friendly Geordies podcast yet again with Robbie. How does he always lose?
Okay, thanks guys.
See you, everyone. You have no idea how happy I am. Happy weekend.
See you later.
Bye.